gather round, it's time for the big ten. Cool down, kick out your heels, jump up and down, shut your eyes and whirl around. Reach out your hand and if no one's there, grab your own hand, dance round in a square.
When you're doing the big ten hoedown, gotta have a collar you can trust, cause when big ten does a hoedown, he really kicks up some dust.
Oink.
Bad.
Bad. Big Ten, ladies and gentlemen, in for the pig.
No. Nope.
And in for Danny, it's Corby.
Thank you very much. Okay, Bob, so this weekend is the NCAA Sweet 16, which does not consist of 32 teams. It consists of 16.
Oddly enough.
Who knew, right?
Right.
So anyway, you will see some familiar teams, you will see some familiar faces, but you also see some outliers. And I think the biggest outlier, of course, will be the little team from Tulsa, Oklahoma, known as Oral Roberts University. So you and I were just kicking around crap the other day in a break.
Yes.
And you brought up a very interesting point. You said, didn't he want to build a 900-foot Jesus?
Well, my first question was actually, didn't he tell everyone he was going to be called home by our Lord if he didn't raise
X amount
several
of money.
Million dollars?
Yeah.
Because that seemed, as a young church attender, and once that made it around the church school circuit, that a preacher is saying, basically God has a gun to his head.
Yeah.
Saying, you need to raise this much money or it's over.
Yeah.
That really rocked us all.
Dude, and it's all true, as they say about the Jedi. It's all true. And so growing up in this area, and Ty, I know you were in this boat and you ended up going to college up in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Oral Roberts was always this real weird figure that as a kid, I didn't really know what it was about other than it was churchy.
Same.
Right?
Even as a churchy guy, I had no idea what he was up to.
Yeah.
That's how my grandmother, she watched Oral Roberts every Sunday morning on TV.
Okay.
That's how she got her church.
So it's funny you mention that because Oral Roberts was the first true televangelist. Now, back before televangelism was slotted as really, really over the top and evil, and you knew that these guys were up to no good and speaking in tongues and healing and all that. Think about the 50s and 60s of how you would get your message out. You know, there are two ways, television and radio, and television was this new medium. And so, yeah, if you were a godly person, why not take advantage of what television had to offer? And
right.
It had to offer, there are only four stations. Odds are that if you got put on TV, you had millions of people watching you.
And I would imagine the exponential offering plate that TV would provide. Because if you're passing the plate in your church, it's to, you know, pay a reasonable salary as well as pay the bills at the church and these types of things. But what if you were seen by millions? What would that be?
Well, it turned out to be millions. And so Oral Roberts, who in the 40s was just a local Shawnee pastor. Shawnee's a small town in Oklahoma. He was born in Ada, Oklahoma, which is another small town. So he's this small town pastor. Then he figures out a way to really start turning eyeballs and heads. And that is faith healing. And I guess this was like the traveling medicine man that you would always see back in the day, or you would hear about, that he would travel in his wagon from town to town and sell this magic elixir, which everybody knew was, you know, years later was just a load of crud.
Would set up like a circus tent, have like a revival.
Right. And he was like a carnival barker almost. And so it was a part salesman, part faith-based, part doctor. They would make tons of money just going town to town selling these magic elixirs. I'm not saying that, because I do think Oral Roberts was a godly person at the time.
Uh-huh.
But I think that he quickly saw that there was a market.
I think we see this all the time, and it's not limited to God's word or preaching the gospel or whatever. I think it's probably in literally every walk of life. Politicians absolutely suffer from this. But man, there is something that is as powerful as the most addictive drug as you can get when you start seeing people do what you want them to do, right?
Yeah.
And I bet you it's so easy to lose the plot once you realize, wait a minute, all I got to do is say this and the money comes rolling in, or people, you know, flock to whatever cause I throw them at.
Yeah.
I bet you it takes quite a dude to remain what you believe is like actually what God's asking you to do rather than what your ego is asking you to do or whatever the case may be.
So when he starts his televangelism campaign, like Ty was saying, his grandmother, that's the way that she consumed church. And there were millions and millions of people just like her who would write $5 checks or $10 checks, and it's tax-free, and it just became a gold mine for these people.
She had like so many notes, you know, where she would send money in and they would send her a thank you note.
Right. And you keep the personal notes from strictly that were written by Oral Roberts. Look what Oral sent me. Look at that.
Yeah.
He cares about me. And so my grandparents were the opposite side of it. And because he was from Oklahoma, now he's got a college, for God's sakes, that's still thriving.
Oh, yeah.
And it's got a good basketball team.
Really good basketball team. Boy, how did he plan on that?
I don't know. But my grandparents, my grandpa, if that ever popped up on a Sunday morning, my grandpa would say, turn that off. That guy's full of mumbo jumbo. And so people in Oklahoma were very leery of what this guy was actually selling. And so the faith healing thing, imagine in the 50s when his name started to spread that this guy could cure sick people. He could put his hands on people and cure them. Well, people weren't really aware that there were phonies out there. They thought that this guy, he was on TV. It's true. And people, I've been told that this guy not only healed sick children, this guy is damn near capable of raising the dead through God. Not
I think
himself.
He claimed it.
He claimed it. Mm. And he goes to South Africa and he packs the biggest soccer field that South Africa has. We're talking 50,000, 100,000 people, and he would do the faith healing. He would lay his hands on people. There were lines of people a mile long waiting for this guy. And by the time news came back to the States that this was going on over there, everybody wanted a piece of Oral Roberts. The television show went through the roof. Yes, Ty, there were claims that he could raise the dead. The rumors were going just absolutely bazonkers, and it got so big. He was making $120 million a year by the time the 80s rolled around.
Whoa.
Yeah.
In 80s money.
Yeah. In the 60s, he was making enough to found Oral Roberts University. This is 17 years after, or about 15 years after, he branched off and became a faith healer, from basic preacher to faith healer. He was able to start this campus. And you may be familiar with this. Students signed an honor code back then, at least, pledging not to drink, smoke, or engage in premarital sex of some kind. Or was that just known?
Well, see, the Oral Roberts, you know, there was a fork in the road, right? Where,
yeah.
Where if, like, the Falwell Billy Graham fork went one way, and I'm not saying in any way everything there was flawless, but I think they stopped way short of raising the dead or faith healing. And I think there was a split where Oral Roberts was kind of, I'm not saying on his own, but had sort of left the reservation of what your general Baptist.
Yeah.
Types thought so.
Oral Roberts and Billy Graham were 1A and 1B as far as going someplace and being able to sell out 100,000 seat venue back then.
Yeah.
That was the first thing at Texas Stadium, was a Billy Graham revival,
right,
that Tom Landry, I believe, spoke at.
And Billy Graham is sort of the Tom Landry of
absolutely
of that department. I mean, they almost overlap in some respects. But back to the honor code, are you speaking of it like at Liberty?
I mean, just in basic,
I think you just put your right
schools
hand up and you said,
like, did you do that, Ty?
I don't drink, smoke, or chew, or go with girls who do.
Chew.
Mark.
No, it was just, we didn't have to.
You don't have to mark that.
We didn't have an honor code or anything, but it was in the rules that if you did certain things on campus and they caught you, it was grounds for expulsion.
Including like.
Like just going to a girl's dorm.
Okay, I was going to say, in our case, well, this was our high school, but even going to like a movie theater. Because you know what, Corby? Those good movies you're seeing pay for the X-rated ones.
Of course.
I'm like, Mom, they don't.
Right, Mom.
Yeah,
on.
They do.
So things got really weird for old Oral Roberts back in 1980. So the campus had been around for 17 years. He had all these visions of what to do on this Tulsa campus. He told everybody that he had a vision in 1980 of a 900-foot Jesus. And said that it was a spiritual vision that was Jesus told, 900-foot Jesus told him that you need to finish building your City of Faith Medical Center at the time on the campus of Oral Roberts University. And 900-foot Jesus became the biggest punchline of the Oral Roberts run.
So, I have so many questions about this. Was this the time where he basically said he was staying in the tower till the money comes in or something like that?
No, this was a different one.
That was mid to late 80s when he did that.
Okay, but this also wasn't the one where God was going to call him home if he didn't get the money?
No, totally different. He says, okay. I was standing out in front of the unfinished medical building. We were out of funds. No more money was coming in. And I felt I had been called to merge God's healing streams from medicine and prayer. That's how I got my healing, and I was standing there very discouraged. I had my head down praying. I raised my head up, and lo and behold, there was Jesus, 60 stories high. And he said all it would take to finish it and get all the doctors and nurses and the prayer partners in my inner eyes, they saw my Savior just rise up above behind it and stand above it, and I felt him speaking in my heart that I told you you couldn't build it, but I've spoken to your partners, and if you will trust me, I will build it through you. So all these people were like, oh, my God, Oral Roberts just saw 900-foot Jesus. Where do I write my check?
Yeah.
Now, again, he's appealing to the dirt poor who are sending him checks for $2.50. But there are hundreds and hundreds of thousands of these people.
Yeah, and there's some who are quite well off who are redirecting their entire tithe in his direction.
Right.
Do you know how big 900 feet? Do you have any idea what we're talking about? A 900-foot Jesus?
Me. Tell everybody what 900-foot Jesus is.
The Eiffel Tower. It would literally be a Jesus the size of the Eiffel Tower in Tulsa. Like,
it's unreal.
Tulsa, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you would be flying by in a commercial jet, and you would look down, and you would see an 80-story tall Jesus.
Yes.
I kind of want to see it.
I do, too.
Would he be waving? What would he be doing?
I don't know.
Give a finger.
Would it be cool,
no,
Jesus?
No, he would not be, Sam. And no, he wouldn't be in the Heisman pose either.
That'd be awesome. Three-point stance,
just,
maybe?
Just probably standing there nice.
Is he wearing a tuxedo T-shirt? Because my Jesus likes to party. Yeah. And then a couple of years later is the infamous, hey, I'm getting ready to be killed by Jesus unless you donate $4 million to me. All this goes to say, how in the hell is this campus still thriving under this name of this modern day shyster? I don't understand.
Well, I'm assuming they have deviated back to a more palatable path, don't you think?
Dude, I have no idea.
Well, I assume they have because they're not in the news every year for wild stunts like he was calling
in the
80s. Well,
that's true. So the Dallas connection to the 900-foot Jesus. I did not put this together until you said to me, Bob, the other day, are you aware of the 900-foot Jesus claim? I'm like, I don't think so. And then I start reading about it. And then I'm like, oh, my God. So back in the 90s, when the Dallas rap scene was getting going, and I talked to Skin about this earlier, the one guy that broke out of the Dallas rap scene in the 90s was this rapper, an industrial rapper, not a hip-hop guy. This is a white guy named MC 900 Foot Jesus.
Shut up.
Swear to God, mm-hmm. dude. Do you remember him?
I remember that name.
Yes, I've always known about MC 900 Foot Jesus. Did you know this was Oral Roberts based?
No, I really didn't.
Yeah, I didn't either. I could not believe it that I just now realized in the last 24 hours that this guy that I've always been aware of, and this guy was big. This guy was like MTV big.
Wow.
Yes. And here, you can pull this up, Mino. I know this song was played on MTV.
Oh, yeah, I know this.
If I only had a brain.
Whoa. Man, I can't believe 900-foot Jesus would say that.
We got it, but wow.
It's the only song on here that doesn't say explicit. Sorry, but anyway, MC 900-foot Jesus, I don't know how much we lost of that. What does it go back, 10, 20 seconds?
Yeah, seven.
Seven, okay, we're good.
You got to hear the first couple seconds.
Yeah, you heard the beat. But anyway, yes, one of the most famous slash infamous of all the Dallas rappers is 100% cribbed from the 900-foot Jesus story from Oral Roberts.
That's incredible. I think you need one more fun fact about how tall a 900-foot Jesus would be.
Okay.
The Statue of Liberty?
Yeah.
305 feet.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine something three times the height of Statue of Liberty?
God. Literally. Okay, Mark Folliwell joins us next. We will talk about the Mavs trade and J.J. Redick and what all that means.